Welcome, fellow truth seekers. You have landed in the right spot. This is Truth or Propaganda Podcast with your hosts, Brittany Lucent and Eric Koblet.
Welcome back, truth seekers. We have made it to season three.
Season three of Truth or Propaganda.
Yes, welcome back.
Welcome back.
I can't believe we're in season three already.
Honestly, me either. It flew by.
It's crazy.
And thank you everyone for liking and subscribing and what's the other one? Commenting. Downloading.
Anything, you know, that you can do online to support the show. And speaking of, we'd like to go over the locations that are supporting the show. And again, another shout out to Finland. I know we had quite an uptick with the Finns last round. And we have some in Bangladesh, some in Costa Rica, Australia. And coming into the States, we've got Chicago, New York, Miami, Florida. And what's up, Washington, D.C.? We see you. We see you coming in at a very angelic number, 1111111. It's a good number. I appreciate you.
I also want to give a shout-out to somebody who donated, Kevin K.
Thank you for the donation. We appreciate you. And with that donation, we will continue to
provide facts
and let you decide if it's truth or propaganda.
So, again, thank you.
Yes, very much so. So, with season three starting, we decided to...
We're getting rid of what a coincidence.
Yes, we're going to try out a new segment. We figure, you know, new season, new segment. We're going to start
I love that. New season, new segment.
Yes. So we're going to start off with the latest alien story that we can pull up that is of interest to us, because, you know, I feel like either it's a big psyop or they're coming for us, you know, it's a 50-50 shot. So with that being said, the latest and greatest is that the U.S. government recently came out and admitted that we actually have inadequate defenses set up for an invasion, a UFO invasion, if there was one. Now, I look at this story in two ways. You know, this wasn't in mainstream media. It was in, you have to kind of dig for this story, but it is accurate. A governmental watchdog report has actually found that the United States has no defense mechanisms in place.
So absolutely none?
Nothing. We are a vulnerable open wound. But that's, you know, if they want to attack us, I kind of feel like it would be more of a rescue mission if they came down here. I feel like they would be saving us from ourselves, you know, like some nuclear avoiding war, save our souls kind of thing. But, you know, I know the government likes to instill fear, so I'm sure there's some kind of interesting, you know, motive behind releasing the statement.
So the last location, I mean, I saw a lot happening in San Francisco as of last week, and this is the 30th of January, 2024.
San Francisco, huh?
Yeah.
What went down over there?
I actually watched a video, and it looked like a cute little... It looked like a square, actually, but it looked like two triangles.
Oh.
And two of them with, like, a red light in the middle.
Okay.
Which was interesting.
Going to visit the Golden Gates. But so anyway, the Department of Defense's official inspector general, he put together this report. And what it did is it studied like policies and measures of that Defense Department and the military services that they have in place. You know, when it comes to these UAPs, they're no longer UFOs, right?
Right. And okay. Well, yeah. I just don't understand why we switched the names.
It's marketing. I'm just kidding.
Basically.
I don't know. Probably. But yeah, so that's a comforting feeling. And that's going to be the conclusion of the new segment for season three, the latest alien news. So I don't know if that's going to be comforting to anyone to think that we have no defense if there was an alien invasion. But maybe look at it from this perspective. It won't be an invasion. We are such a danger to ourselves if we keep on this track that they might just be here to save us. So wave them down and invite them over for tea.
But that brings me into our latest topic, which is how the world was created by sound.
Yes. So we're going to kind of dig into a lot of really cool things that I've just come across recently in my endless search for just information and reasons. And this book actually came to me. It's called Know the Only Truth. And what is his name? It's by Sebastian Santisbon. But it's a really good book. And I wanted to share some knowledge from it with you that he put together. I think it's super interesting perspective. And then to coincide with that, we're also going to be pulling from Gaia, Greg Braden, and a brilliant scientist with, you know, lots of letters after his name. You know, expert on many things. We're pulling from his consciousness expo, where he did a very interesting presentation about DNA and a ton of stuff. So we're going to try to tie it all together, kind of make sense of things, maybe question the typical narrative that we've been taught. So once again, this is going to be a doozy.
Always with the doozies.
So I just ask you to keep an open mind and listen to the way that we present the facts, and encourage you to also do your own research. Look up these sites that I'm telling you about and these resources that I'm sharing. With that, there was a scientist named Michael Tellinger, and he was studying a lot of different things about religions and cultures and where we came from. And one of his most interesting studies is about the power of sound, okay? And he talks about how sound is so incredibly powerful that it's actually capable of creating matter, right? And this scientist, he really emulated Nikola Tesla, who was another, you know, amazing, brilliant mind. We all know he's one of my secret crushes. And he actually said to know the secrets of the universe is to know frequency, energy, and vibration, right? So in lieu of that, if we were to look at it from a scientific standpoint and we were to do experiments, let's say place a certain object on a plate or utilize water and music and instruments, like hit on a drum with sand on top of the drum, and you would see, you know, the shape of that sound, which is called a cymoscope, right? Am I saying that right? It's C-Y-M-A-S-C-O-P-E.
Yeah, cymoscope.
Okay. Cymoscope, okay? So that is the term that was coined by Eric Larson, because he invented this concept of the physical shape of sound. And
cymoscope.
Cymoscope. Thank you.
Cymoscope.
Mr. Koblick. So, and, you know, I encourage people to go to the website cymoscope.com. It's super cool. It goes into a lot of different ways that you can bring sound visible, you know, make sound visible with different things. And then once you do make sound visible, you get to see the patterns that sound makes and how it's like the Fibonacci pattern that's within so many things that's in our world, you know, from shells to anything that you really look at in a microscopic level, you can find these mathematical patterns that, you know, make up these sound frequency patterns that, you know, occur naturally all around us. So it's just, it's very interesting to
totally,
you know,
interesting
look into that kind of stuff. So you know, with the was it cymatics? So with
cymoscope.
With the cymoscope, which is the science of cymatics, you know, they took the different sounds and they made them visible, and you can see all different types of patterns.
Cymoscope.
Cymoscope. Thank you. I might need it a couple more times. It's been a long day. So if you do, you know, look into that, you can see different, you know, pictures of different patterns, right? And those patterns are kind of like snowflakes. They look super cool, right? You see them, Eric, how would you describe them? They're almost they're like pretty. They're pink blocks, right?
They look like, you know, when you, a children's toy, you hold up into the sky,
kaleidoscope. Yes.
Same patterns.
Exactly. And what's interesting is if you look back at some of the ancient representations of old symbols for religious sectors, you'll see that they reflect these patterns as well, because at the time, you know, they were very intelligent and they were aware of the power of sound. So even back then, you know, with these, you know, crosses and different symbols of religions, they knew that there was a secret in the sound. And there was a lot to be utilized just from that and the vibration. And actually, there was a dude named Raymond Rife. And he was an inventor. And he put together this Rife machine, right? And it actually was something that could cure cancer. It was an electromagnetic waves machine. And what it would do was convert sound into these electrical impulses. And it would kill cancer cells. And it was called the Rife machine. And of course, you know, we all know the story. If you listen to Truth or Propaganda, Rife's discoveries were suppressed in the 1930s. You know, they weren't allowed to be shared because, you know, how are you going to patent that? And what's interesting is that the power of sound, you know, it's not just there. You know, it's beyond even being able to heal yourself. It was utilized for like the pyramids, how they built the pyramids. You know, we it's been a question that's been tossed around with so many different theories, you know, some of them very plausible. Here's another theory, you know, that the power of sound was actually what moved these large monuments and construction, and the ancestors that we are still trying to figure out had already figured this out, and they knew the power of sound. You know, they used it to move these heavy rocks, and they used it to build these amazing, you know, masterpieces, right?
Literally.
So, even science will say that the Earth is like a giant magnet, right?
Right.
In the 1930s, there was a German mathematician.
So, a giant magnet. That's crazy to wrap your head around.
The Earth is a giant magnet, which will tie me back into what we're going to talk about when we discuss a little bit of Greg Braden's lecture, because he discusses how we are electromagnetic and we are connected to the Earth, and, you know, it's all just one big connecting the dots, you know, to put together why we are here, how we got here, what our purpose is, and, you know, what our future is. So basically, this dude, Carl Friedrich Gauss, he studied the Earth's magnetic field, and he figured out that there was a main bipolar component that was inside the Earth, the genesis was inside the Earth, and all of the energy, the whole bulk of it, the source of the energy, it came from the Earth's core, and it was this like self-sustaining magnetic field. So, think of this, Eric. Okay?
Tell me, Brittany.
So, if the Earth's like this giant magnet, like you just said, and we, right, human beings, we are of the Earth, right? Doesn't it make perfect sense that everything on the Earth is magnetic, right?
Right.
Okay. So that leads me to this. We have always been taught that we are made up of, what, protons, electrons, right?
Yeah.
We are particles. If you look up a picture of an electron, you can clearly see that it is not particles, but it is waves of sound creating a pattern if you look at it under a microscope. And it's no shock to me that we have been taught incorrectly. I think the more we awaken, the more we realize how many things we were taught incorrectly for a greater agenda. But Yeah, so even Nikola Tesla, you know, my dude, my man, he even said that he wasn't down for this whole atomic theory that we are created of electrons. He sees us as electric beings, and he knows that...
Electric beings.
Electromagnetic beings, we know that we are fluid, and he knows that we are not made up of particles, but we are chargeable beings.
So, you know, it makes me think of, you know, where exactly do we come from?
Exactly. And that's, you know, what this is all about, trying to figure out what was the origin of that sound. And when we talk a little bit more about the DNA and the structure and the coding later on in the program, we're going to get into, you know, where did we come from? How is it so sure that it was an intelligent design? You know, what proof do we have out there? I think... that's about as far as we've gotten is knowing that it is some type of intelligent design, but we haven't pushed further past that yet, at least in my research and from what I've, you know, figured out. But that is for later in the program, Truth Seekers. So going back to, you know, how we were taught that we are electrons and protons and particles and whatnot, there were actually, you know, a ton of scientists, Einstein being one of them, you know, I just mentioned Tesla being one of them, over 200 very popular scientists of the time actually didn't buy into that theory, and they didn't think that that was, you know, how things began, and they think that it was actually from sound. So although
it's hard, it took me a little bit to wrap my head around the world created by sound.
Yeah, well, it's not, we've been indoctrinated and we've been taught a certain way for so long that, you know, if something comes along and proves it wrong or shows evidence of it not quite being that way, it's startling to us. It shakes up our system. And this is something that is along those lines. You know, this is basically saying that most of the theories of creation aren't what happened. Everything that we've been taught, everything that we've been said to be in our educational system is not accurate. So, you know, talking about the cimoscope, right? Earlier, I'm talking about cimoscope, the sound that's made visible. There is this pretty cool YouTube video that I encourage you guys to check out. And what it does is it takes various cimoscopes, basically a capture of the pattern that is created with certain objects by sound. Like when you, like I said, bang on a drum with some sand on the top, what happens to it and what formations it creates with those different vibrations. So with this YouTube video, which is super cool, it takes these different cimoscopes, these vibrational patterns, and it layers them over top of each other until finally it turns into the picture of a little girl. And this is from the YouTube video called Out of All Things One and Out of One All Things. Like I said, I encourage you all to look into it yourself and really see the transformation of the sound patterns into a human being.
That's a crazy thought. Just by itself.
It is. It is. I mean, it goes against the grain of everything that we, you know, think that we know. And it's crazy because we think that we just trust who teaches us. You know, we trust the way that we are taught and what our educational system and schools present to us. We just trust that it's fact. You know, it's hard to change that perspective when it's been so, you know, ingrained in you for so long. But speaking of, you know, electromagnetic energy and how we talked about, you know, a lot of the ancient buildings and wonders of the world were, came to fruition because of that, sound power. The thing that's kind of cool is you can still see some of this stuff today. Like there is this thing called Adam's Calendar, which is located in South Africa. And it is evidence of the, you know, magnet power of the earth, which, you know, created these rock formations and, you know, really, you know, just, it's just an amazing thing to see the power of sound. is what it comes down to. And there's a ton of these formations, you know, all over the world, these ancient stone circles that are just, you know, frequencies and are created by vibrations and sound in the earth.
So when we look at ancient structures built in stone, we realize that the ancients knew exactly what they were doing, honestly. Yeah. They understood that the stone is a tool that carries information, has storage capacity, and is a source of energy. And that's kind of why they used stone. Not because it was available at the time, but because it was actually very intelligent.
Yeah, they were super smart.
All ancient pyramid structures, such as Borobudur, were actually giant machines built of stone created to perform specific functions that we have not yet discovered. Think about that for a minute.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So it looks old, but they're saying
we haven't even tapped into the technologies that those things were built for, basically.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
You know, they are machines powered by the sound of the earth and activated by the movement of the sun. Even the very powerful symmetrical patterns that the Stonehenge possessed, even though it has been reconstructed, tells us that its original structure was created very specifically as a resonance device.
Yes, that's true. And, you know, a ton of these ancient constructions, they're just basically advanced technology, but on a huge scale, right? Like, these temples, they were, you know, built originally for offerings and rituals, and, you know, sometimes people would live there. But in reality, you know, it doesn't make a lot of sense that a large number of pillars and a little interior space that they would have would be ideal, you know? So if you actually look, and this I found fascinating when I really started digging into this theory, if we look at an aerial view of these ancient cities or civilizations or whatever you want to call them, and you compare the aerial view to that picture of a actual circuit board. So you put them side by side and you start to notice that these really aren't like temples at all. They're not really, you know, built for solely that purpose, because they look like giant circuit boards. Think about that. How crazy is that? Are you looking at the example of that online?
Yeah.
Pretty crazy, huh?
It's
pretty
insane.
Mind-blowing, truth seekers.
It's a doozy.
I encourage you to look it up for yourself. And as season 3 progresses, we will be looking into starting our YouTube channel so that we can be sharing with you these wonderful visuals that we have. Which means I might have to, you know, put some lipstick on or something. So basically, if you kind of rewire your thinking and look at these ancient structures from a perspective that these are simply gigantic power grids or circuit boards that, you know, create enormous amounts of energy, if you look at it that way, it might be a little more plausible the further we are going to dig into things today.
Mm-hmm.
And now I would like to transition over to one of my favorites, Mr. Greg Braden. And I want to talk to you a little bit about the battle that he discusses at the Conscious Life Expo. And this battle is between not a typical army or country. This battle is actually a battle for our humanness, and it's actually playing out right before our eyes. So we have the media, right? And they are battling for our thoughts. They are trying to influence us through the mainstream media to, you know, meet their agenda and to follow what exactly they want us to believe. They're banning books. They are, you know, coming into our classrooms and, you know, having the narrative set for what they want it to be. And the more we study, the more we realize that that's not exactly how it is. You know, there's even a battle for where you think you came from, for where our origins are, for where, you know, evolution is and how DNA plays a factor. And, you know, this is kind of where the story takes an interesting twist, or this episode takes an interesting twist. There was actually a scientist, a Chinese scientist, that came out with a baby that was DNA, custom DNA generated, right?
Right.
Eric always likes to say Paris Hilton, you know, or her sister, Nikki Hilton, I don't know, one of them have a DNA genetically selected baby, you know, and it's very likely, you know, Nikki's married to a Rothschild, so, you know, who knows. But anyway, so this Chinese scientist actually was the first one to come out with a baby that was created with slicing DNA, you know, putting together the perfect code for a child. So there right now is a battle for our body. You know, we have vaccinations that we're unsure of. We have the big pharma that we're unsure of. We have the processed foods that we're unsure of. You know, it's making us question everything that we used to think was healthy. We found out the food pyramids are fake. You know, everything now is just come into question, and it's a battle. That's a really good way of putting it. I like the way that he, Mr. Braden, said that. So going back to the DNA slicing, right, all part of the battle. I'm sure we've heard of CRISPR, right?
Yeah, CRISPR? Of course.
So if you haven't, CRISPR is the process of like slicing our DNA and inserting, you know, different coding in it to alter it. And this can be dangerous, you know, because what makes our DNA grow and morph and eliminate the things that are not functioning properly is this evolution of, you know, trial and error with those codings, you know, almost like a computer, right? We're like this circuit board, right? Is it all connecting now? The sound, the energy, it's all kind of, you know, making sense. So what CRISPR does is it puts together a perfect DNA, and it skips over the evolutionary process, which, you know, can be dangerous because it weakens that naturally formulated DNA. So basically, by that Chinese doctor being able to create the baby, by us actually being able to utilize our strands of DNA like a word processor can copy and paste words. It's a good way to look at it. It's a good analysis. We can be very specific and select, you know, very specific genes, and we can cut and paste, and we can put them all together and, you know, create this perfect being in the womb of the mother. Like, this is stuff that you can actually do. This is happening right now. I know it's kind of, you know, controversial, and a lot of the scientific teams, they weren't down with it.
Right? Everything we talk about is controversial, Brittany.
I know. Well, you know, everything that should be talked about is controversial, and maybe it's set up to be that way, so we won't talk about it and we'll avoid it. But not here, baby. Not on Truth or Propaganda.
Heck no. Truth or Propaganda.
We look it in the eye, we stare it down.
And again, everything we say, Google it.
Please, because I just, the most important thing that we can do as a society is to do our own research, is to just not trust the basic narrative that the, you know, like I said before, the very ones, the villains are the ones putting the narrative out. So we don't want to read the narrative and trust what the villains are saying. They own the mainstream media. They own the agenda. And, you know, do your own research. Please, 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 people. That's how we will awaken. That's how maybe generations from now we will, you know, be vibrating higher and realize that it's not all about greed and war and all of that. But I digress. So, talking about slicing the DNA and creating the perfect human leads me into talking about human engineering and AI, which is a hot topic these days, right, Eric?
It's honestly the topic.
It is the topic, yes. We have you know, Elon Musk out there. What did you say he just did with the...
Neuralink, I believe the company is called, just successfully, as of, I think it was 2 days ago, successfully installed the first, like, human chip to, like,
you know... pay for things, right? Like, in your hand, is that...
To basically do everything, yeah. You could, like, think about moving... It's basically using a computer without having to...
Wow, you, I mean, it's like merging AI and humans. It's the merging of technology.
So, it's interesting. It just, the first human patient is recovering very well, apparently, so...
Oh, no, I'm sure that it can be implemented. I mean, especially if you look at us as electromagnetic human beings, you know, our beings are electro. It's almost like we're connecting again with what we are originally. We are these electromagnetic forces. So, you know, it's scary for what they want to use it for, but I'm not surprised that it's being adapted to and taken without, you know, any side effects or anything like that. But the sad thing is with that, you know, I think we are losing what makes us human, you know, which is like the connections. You know, we are a society that is hidden behind our screens and with, you know...
Well, it raises the question, you know, when does technology begin to replace, you know, humans?
Right? Yeah, I know. It'll be like, oh, Sonny Boy, I remember when we weren't artificial intelligence. You know, telling the stories to our grandkids. Because, you know, right now, they actually have AI partners that are being married. And, you know, humans over in China and over in other areas of the world are actually allowed to legally marry a robot that looks like a human. So, I mean, that's where we are, people. That's
and that's how far just along we are. That's just a beginning. That's just the start of a whole new industry.
Yeah, totally. Totally. I mean,
you know, sex AI is a whole, totally, you know, you
it's
know,
replacing
the human intimacy connection.
Yeah, that's scary. That is scary because that is what makes us who we are. You know, that is what connects us to the source and to, you know, love. So to think that that can be replaced with such a cold and callous, you know, AI, it's scary. It's scary to think. You know, it's definitely not romantic, I'll put it that way. But, you know, I think what's interesting is if you look at where we've come with slicing DNA and noticing that we're kind of transferring our humanness into AIs and becoming more and more detached, you know, from what should be looked at as a travesty. You know, we're just, it was becoming normal. It's becoming normal to, you know, put chips in our arms and, you know, what I was, think it's funny when someone says, oh, well, it doesn't apply to me because I'm always on the straight and narrow. Let them put a chip in my arm. Let them follow me around. Well, I mean, that's not really what the terrifying thing is. The terrifying thing is that we can be like China one day where they have social credit scores. And because you didn't pay a jaywalking ticket, your food bank is, you know, put on hold. So, you know, it goes a lot deeper than just, you know, I'm not breaking the law. So I don't care if they watch me. So you just, it's, there's a lot more reasons why we shouldn't want to go completely digital and transhuman because it's, you know, not, it doesn't support the narrative of love and connectivity, which is so important.
Transhuman.
Yes. Exactly.
You know, where do we end? And, you know, when did machines really begin? It makes me...
question. And you know, why are we so much different than the machines? Maybe we're not. If you look at it from, like, we are coded, you know, with these strands of DNA that make up who we are and, you know, are this, like, matrix of numbers and letters and put together so that we are coded just like a circuit board, just like a computer, just like a robot. Our DNA strands make up codes that give us our characteristics. So how are we that much different than AI? What is it that makes us, you know, one coded different, one little thing different? And, you know, there's a lot of theories about that. We are wired, you know, to regenerate. We are electrical beings. We are wired to heal. We are wired to self-regulate. And we have been suppressing all of this electric information, you know, that we have stored in our DNA. Our DNA is like our information. And instead, we've been inundated with, you know, big pharma and all of the crap that is thrown at us as far as media and everything. And so we aren't reaching our full potential. So
I think we're starting to, like everyone says, there's an awakening sort of thing.
I feel like it is. I mean, don't you really feel that? Don't you feel like the world is kind of like, you know, we have too much information at our fingertips right now. Like the intuition, it's too strong. You know, it's just this like overwhelming energetic feeling. Speaking of, you know, energetic frequencies and whatnot, I want to dive into a little bit about matching frequencies and raising your, you know, frequencies with vibrations and how you meet vibrations and connect and all that kind of stuff. Because it's real, you know, we are electromagnetic beings, you know, everything we've been talking about today is kind of connecting those dots. And if you start to realize, like you strive to be better, you strive to learn more, you're, you know, trying to, I mean, in a lack of a better term, you're trying to elevate your consciousness, you're trying to really be a good person and give to the world the best that you possibly can, and that, I think, is the definition of raising your vibration, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah. It makes sense when you put it to, you know, when you say it that way.
Yeah. It's almost like you're going up your chakras until you can get to your, you know, mind chakra and connect with that third eye and really just be, you know, tapped into the awareness and the consciousness of the world. And you meet that vibrational frequency and you're just in tune. And that's when just like everything starts going right for you, man. Like the people that come into your life, you're just vibing with them. The things that fall into your lap, you're just winning. You know, you're doing what you're passionate about. You're happy with what your, you know, life is playing out because you're vibing right. You're vibrating high, and those frequencies of the universe are matching those same high vibrating frequencies. Does that make sense?
Yeah, kind of.
But if you come in and you're vibrating low, let's say you're miserable and upset, or, you know, maybe you just have a shitty lifetime. You know, some people get handed a crappy deck of cards. And it's making you just kind of see things from a very egotistical, materialistic perspective, you know, where you're stuck in the physical and you can't really remove yourself from all of the attachments of the world, you know, like the brand names or, you know, competition and all that kind of stuff, which keeps us so, you know, vibrating on that lower level. And then you'll probably attract those same type of incidents. You know, you'll probably surround yourself with people that have that same kind of mindset, very egotistical, very driven by money and greed and all that kind of stuff. And that's kind of like your vibe. That's what your vibe attracts your tribe. But let's say you're, you know,
or your vibe attracts your tribe.
Yeah, right. And the more I wake up, you know, every day and go to sleep every night with like a grateful heart, and just, you know, really focusing in on all of the things that I have to be grateful for, the more I see that things just work out. Things are just better, you know, when you have, and it's not just a cliche. You have a grateful perspective and you see things like, wow, I'm so grateful for this. Thank you for this. You know, you meet me with such gratitude and we're vibrating together. The universe is meeting me with the same frequency and things work out. It's not hype. It's really how we're made up. We are electric beings. And if we figure out how to vibrate on a level of positivity, that is what will be mirrored back to us. And, you know, there's so many more things I want to tap into now that we've established the base that we came from sound. We are electromagnetic beings. We are connected with the Earth, which is also a magnetic, energetic globe floating around in the universe. So there, you know, is, that's like the thing I wanted to establish with this episode, is that we came from sound. I want you to look into it. I'd like you to look into the, what is it, the cymoscopes? Please look into those. They're fascinating when you can make sound visible, which really, you know, puts it into perspective. And yeah, I think we're going to have to wrap it up here because in interest of time, I'm going to have to continue with a part two of this. What do you think, Eric? Because there's a lot more to cover.
A lot more to cover. And I feel like we just scratched the surface of something yet to be discovered.
Pretty big, yeah, for sure. And I encourage everybody to look into everything that we talked about today, and we'll do a part two and kind of talk a little bit more about DNA slicing and how we're coded similar to a circuit board, and how that's all connected with whether we really are part of the evolution theory. You know, I'm not saying that evolution doesn't exist, but maybe it just doesn't apply to us. So we're going to dive into that a little bit more in our next episode. And we look forward to another doozy. Thanks again, Truth Seekers. Please keep liking. Please keep downloading. Please keep subscribing. And thanks for the donation, Kevin, right? I think it was Kevin.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Kevin.
Kevin K, I think.
Yay. All right. Well, we will keep doing the research.
Providing the facts.
And letting you decide.
If it's truth or propaganda.
Bye, guys.